Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved, and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is printed in your bulletin. We'll sing the seven verses of "To Your Temple, Lord, I Come." You to follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. blessed be his name forever, with angel hosts let us adore, and sing his praises evermore, for all his grace and is holy, spread the story of our God, the Lord of glory. We pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all of your word, the Holy Scriptures, to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear it, read it, learn from it, and apply it to our lives, that we may always embrace and hold fast the sure hope of everlasting life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll read from chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. In these words, Paul reminds us that the walk of the Christian is a new life. We are raised from death with Christ through our baptism. We're connected to his death as well. And we would not, as Christians, want to continue to walk in the sins that we previously committed. Listen to Paul's words then from Romans chapter 6. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live in it any longer? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." With these words, our God encourages us to do the very thing that we are doing this morning, gathering together around the Word of God. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Here ends our scripture readings.
Almighty Father, bless the word which through your grace we now have heard. Oh, may the precious seed take root, spring up and bear
rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 785. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is selected verses of Psalm 84. We'll actually be reading that psalm responsively for our sermon text today. It's found printed in your bulletin. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young.
A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my hang and my back.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
They are ever praising.
They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Look upon our shield, O God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing blesses you with hope from those who walk
in. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. From a scale of 1 to 84, as in Psalm 84, how excited are you to be in worship today? Would you say you're ranked anywhere near the scale of this man who wrote this psalm? This man really wanted to be in church. Listen to how he describes his excitement as he goes to worship. He says, "My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Obviously, this man wanted to be in church. He wanted to worship the Lord with God's people. It's also apparent from this psalm that for some reason or another, this man was prevented from going to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship the Lord or to attend one of the religious festivals. And he's obviously torn up about this fact. He finds the dwelling place of the Lord Almighty to be so lovely that his soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. He's broken up when he has to be forced to be away from God's temple. Now, there's no doubt that the temple in Jerusalem was a very beautiful structure, a beautiful place to worship and to remember the Lord's presence with his people. But there absolutely had to be something more about this temple that made the courts of the Lord cause someone to say some of the things that this psalmist says in Psalm 84. Well, how about our house of worship here? It's a very nice-looking church, a beautiful-looking interior, but there absolutely has to be more than just the look of our church building and its physical appearance that keeps you coming back to these worship services each week. You have other options. There are other churches in this area that I'm sure are more ornate, bigger, have better facilities, better music, no offense, Sue, better choir. I'm sure they have better programs for the children, for families, maybe a style of worship that we might prefer differently than ours. They probably even have a more gifted pastor. Just so I'm not just throwing Sue under the bus, they probably have a more gifted pastor than me. So what is it about this house of the Lord that makes it so truly beautiful? Well, the true beauty of the house of the Lord is not found with the walls or what's in on the inside or outside of these walls, but what goes on inside the building itself. The beauty of the house of the Lord, the true beauty, is found in what he gives us here. And also, it's found in what we give in return. Now, this is going to sound strange coming from a pastor, but there are a number of things on a Sunday morning that I'd probably sometimes rather do. Things that I would admit are more fun, more enjoyable, and more exciting than coming to the house of the Lord, especially during football season. However, at the same time, I would completely agree with the psalmist in our text that better is one day in the Lord's courts than 1,000 elsewhere, no matter where else it would be. Why? Well, it's true that some of the activities in our life may be more fun and more exciting, but you simply cannot get what you get here in the Lord's house anywhere else. You cannot get what you get here in the Lord's house when you are gathered with fellow believers, worshiping our Lord and Savior. Think about some of the things that we receive here and can receive only when we come with our fellow believers to the worship service. Think of the spiritual peace we receive each Sunday from the confession and forgiveness of our sins. being reminded and knowing again that our sin-sick souls have been completely cleansed, completely healed from all of our guilt, all of our shame, and every last one of our sins have been taken care of by the sacrifice of Christ. Think also of the reminder of God's continual presence in our lives that we get when we come to the worship service, come to a place that we describe as His house. The reminder of His presence and protection, the comforting promises that He's made to each one of us, that He individually cares for us, guides and directs our lives. Think of the blessing of coming here to hear and learn from the very words of our Father, who created us and preserves us. To hear from His Son, who redeemed us on the cross of Calvary, and by His death destroyed death, and by His resurrection gives us life eternal. To hear from the Holy Spirit, who guides us in the truth of God and empowers us to put that word into action in our lives. Think about the fact that we come to this worship service again to hear that assurance of forgiveness and the incredible faith strengthening which Christ gives to us when we come to His table to receive Himself, His very body and blood in and with that bread and wine, given and shed for you, for me, in the Lord's Supper. Those are some of the gifts that the Lord Himself gives to us when we meet here at His house. Now, you've probably heard it said before that I can be a Christian without going to church. I don't need to go to church to worship God. I can read my Bible at home all by myself. I can listen to sermons on the radio or watch them on TV or read them on the internet or watch them on the internet. It's true. Those statements are actually true. And they are a good way to hear and read God's Word. But oftentimes my first response to statements like that is to ask this. Are you really going to do all of those things when you don't come to the worship service on Sunday? And the second question is this. Why would you want to miss out on some of the great blessings that God gives us when we do gather for worship together in His house? That great blessing that you cannot get or manufacture anywhere else but the house of God in a worship service is the blessing of fellowship. Fellowship with each other cannot be simulated over the internet or in print. Now, if you are, those of you who are watching this on the internet and are reading this in print or on the internet, I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip, especially if you're not able to come to the worship service for some very legitimate reasons. Maybe you're like the psalmist. You can't come, but you really wish you could. Let me also say that I'm very glad and thankful for those of you who are watching or listening or reading this in whatever form it comes across to you. Let me also make one thing very clear. Hearing the Word through those means is beneficial. They can definitely help us strengthen and grow our faith. But you cannot replace the blessing God gives us through fellowship when you are sharing, worshiping, encouraging, and being encouraged by your fellow believers in church. Besides all those reasons, God Himself tells us He wants you to gather together with your fellow believers, and for very good reasons. He wants us to gather together with those of our faith for worship, for Bible study, and for mutual encouragement to help us in our walk of faith, to help us to learn, and also help us to carry out God's Word, to do those good things that God has laid out for us. Remember the words from our second reading this morning. This is God's command, His instructions. You are supposed to gather together around my word. He says this in Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It is hard to spur yourself alone on to love and good deeds. So He says, gather together. He says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The day that He's referring to there is Judgment Day. As we see this world hurtling closer and closer to the last day, Judgment Day, we need all the encouragement and strengthening we can get from our fellow believers gathered around God's Word. A pastor once read this passage from Hebrews, as the story goes, to a person who had not been coming to church very much recently. The man was trying to argue with the pastor that he didn't really need to come because he could just worship God at home through some of the methods that we previously mentioned. So in order to make his point clear, the pastor got up during the conversation and walked over to the fireplace that was roaring with a big, healthy fire. And after stoking the fire, he took out one of the largest and brightest burning coals from that fire and moved it away from the rest of the burning logs. After a few more minutes of conversation, the pastor pointed to the coal that had been burning so brightly when it was with the rest of the fire, and he pointed out the fact that that coal, although raging previously, was now dimmer and dimmer and would eventually just be completely died out. As the story goes, the man got the picture and said, "I'll be in church this Sunday, Pastor." If you've been tempted to be one of those lone burning embers, if you've been tempted to give up that blessing of fellowship, Bible study, and worship with your fellow Christians, for whatever the reasons you may think, you need to realize that what you are doing or not doing is not healthy for your faith. Now, can you still be a Christian and never set foot once in a church? Obviously, yes. Will your faith eventually die out completely like that one lone ember away from the fireplace in that illustration? Not necessarily. It's possible you could stay in the faith and be preserved by the Word of God alone in your faith. But it certainly won't make your faith stronger, at least not as strong as it could be. It would not give you the best chance to keep that faith burning and glowing. The psalmist said this about the worshipers of God in God's house. This is from our text today. He said, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." Why would we want to deprive ourselves of that strength and encouragement that we gain from our fellow believers in fellowship and in worship? If you are currently not experiencing this blessing of fellowship with God and your fellow believers on a regular basis, let me encourage you to do so. Let me invite you to come and worship with us here every Sunday, to be a part of these burning embers of faith that continually feed off of each other and feed off of God's Word and go from strength to strength in our journey toward the house of the Lord in heaven. The fact that we even gather for worship in the house of God, our Savior, is one of the true beauties of the house of God. It's where that true beauty is found. And so we also remember that the true beauty of God's house is found in what we give back to God in return. We've addressed some of the blessings we receive when we get here, but what about what we give back in the worship service? Think about the fact that we fallen creatures who are born in sin, dead, enemies of God, are now, through God's amazing grace, His children, who bring Him worship and praise. That is an incredibly beautiful thing to behold. To think that we, who struggle so mightily with our own sinful flesh, our own troubles, our own hang-ups and difficulties, our own anti-God desires that creep up at times because of that sinful nature inside of us, to think that we can serve Him cheerfully and joyfully through His Spirit and show love for Him and our fellow man, that is an incredible sight to behold. To think that our stuttering lips and our stammering tongues have been chosen by God to spread His life-giving gospel of salvation through us to others is both humbling and inspiring. To think that He, the God of heaven and earth, who needs nothing and fills all things in all places, comes to us and hears and answers the prayers we give Him simply because He loves us and wants to bless us, that is truly awe-inspiring. And to think that He can work in our hearts a desire to give of our time, our talents, and even our money to the cause of His kingdom is truly beautiful and miraculous. for all of these blessings, for the things that we get, and for all the ways that we can give back. Our souls should long to come to the house of the Lord. It should be a place that we desire above any other, a place we'd rather be than any other. Not because it's the most fun or the most exciting place, but it's because there we meet our Savior Jesus. It's where He speaks to us, where He gives us the comfort of His promises, where He reminds us of His love for us, the love He showed on the cross in saving us, the love He showed when He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and the love He still shows to us today, preserving us, caring for us, taking care of all of our needs, being our comfort and our strength. It's where we're reminded each week that He waits for us in heaven, that He's preparing for us a mansion, a place just for you and me in heaven. For all this, how could we not want to come back each week to bring our prayers and our praises to our Savior? How could we not say with the psalmist, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. We bring some prayers of thanksgiving to our Father's throne. We've been praying for Wayne's daughter, Michelle, and for her surgery this past week. We're glad to announce and thankful that the surgery was successful. We're waiting on the results of the testing, and we pray that there is no more cancer to be found. We also praise and thank God for another couple that we prayed for last week, Terry's friends Ginny and Val. They were having difficulty affording their medication for their insulin, and that prayer has been answered in a tremendous way this week. The Lord's provided it for them at a greatly reduced cost. So we bring these prayers to our Father's throne, along with our general prayer. Are there any other prayer requests that we need to bring this morning? Go ahead, Leslie. We'll do that. prayers for safe travel for our new teacher coming tomorrow and for Mitch traveling to Virginia. Let's pray these prayers in our Father's name. Dear Heavenly Father, you hear and answer all of our prayers for Jesus' sake. We humbly thank and praise you that you've listened to our prayers and have answered them in a way that is favorable. You have made Michelle's surgery successful, and even now are granting her the gracious balm of healing. We pray, Lord, that you daily improve her health and make her recovery complete. If it's your will, Lord, let there be no more cancer. Give her complete and full recovery from her illness. Restore her strength in sufficient manner that she may return home to her family. Dear Lord, we also praise and thank you for answering our prayers regarding Ginny and Val and for providing for them in such a miraculous and abundant way. Help us to remember, Lord, that you are our supplier of all our needs, both earthly and physical. We also praise and thank you, Lord, for bringing us our new teacher, Rebecca Lillo. And we pray that you'd give her and her family safe travels to our area. And we ask you to bless her time with us, that she would be moved by your Spirit to teach to the best of her ability. And we ask you, Lord, to bring many students under her care. We also pray for safekeeping and continued blessings for Mitch Harillo, who is moving to Virginia and continuing his service to our country. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts and blessings you've given him. We pray that you keep him strong and firm in his faith and keep him safe during his duties on the East Coast. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for the precious gift of Christian fellowship, which we're now enjoying in your name. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, the only true God, and for the privilege of hearing your word, by which we grow in faith toward a better understanding of your love. Give us all a sincere longing to assemble here in your name to worship you, and to be built up and edified by the preaching and teaching of your word. As we look back on the week that just ended, Lord, we must confess that we've not always obeyed your word. We've not always done what your commands have taught us, nor have we sought to follow the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Too often our days are marked by failure to do the good things that you want to see in your children. We ask you, Lord, to forgive those sins for the sake of your Son, whom you sent to die on the cross. Give us your Holy Spirit to open our hearts to the word that is spoken here today. Cause us to grow in our faith and to have a deeper love for our God and for each other. Give to all of us who worship here the grace to praise our God continually with our whole lives, pursuing only those things and desiring only those things which are good and righteous. Give us the gifts of patience, kindness, and gentleness, that we may help family and neighbor and anyone we come across, that we may be forgiving, and that we may live honestly with all people. May our voices lifted together this hour serve not only to glorify you, our God, but also mutually to comfort and strengthen each other. We ask all this in Jesus' name as we pray in his name the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn. That can be found in your praise and worship folder, hymn number 4. If those did not get handed out, make sure you grab one from our usher today. Hymn number 4 in the praise and worship folder. Please rise. We continue on page 8 in your bulletin with the service of the sacrament. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We continue with the prayer before the Lord's Supper on the top of page 8. Dear Savior, upon your gracious invitation, I come to your altar. Let me find favor in your eyes, that I may approach your table in true faith and receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of my sins and the strengthening of my faith. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
My body give for me, O Savior, thy blood which thou for me did shed. These are my life and strength forever. By them my hungry soul is fed. Lord, may thy body and thy blood for my soul the highest good.
You may be seated. At this time, we respectfully ask that those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at this time.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Please rise. We continue on the bottom of page 9 with the prayer after the Lord's Supper. O blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to me in this holy sacrament. Keep me in your faith and favor. As you live in me, let me also live in you. May your body and blood preserve me in the true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now become thy dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I thy praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Closing hymn is hymn 643. Good morning. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today, some very familiar guests and visitors who've come a long ways to visit us and to worship with us in the house of the Lord. We welcome you and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again very soon. A few announcements in the bulletin. Today, after the service, we'll have a brief VBS staff meeting in the fellowship hall to make some final preparations for our Vacation Bible School, which is going to be held a week from tomorrow, believe it or not. We're beginning that very soon. Speaking of which, I did not get this in the announcements, but there is a sign-up sheet for snacks for the children and also for lunch each day for our volunteers. We have three TVBS teaching students coming and a few staff members. So there's some information on that sign-up sheet. It's next to the guest registry in the entryway. So if you'd like to sign up for some snacks or lunch, please do so today or next Sunday or sometime in between. Wednesday we'll be having our Villa Fontana service a week earlier than normal because of Vacation Bible School next week. So that'll be Wednesday at 11 a.m. I have catechism class on Tuesdays and Thursday at 10 a.m. over Skype. Next Sunday our service will be its usual schedule of worship at 10 a.m., Bible class at 8:45. We will be having a VBS teachers meeting at 6 p.m. next Sunday evening to get ready for the VBS week. A reminder also, you see at the bottom of page 11, we'll be having the teacher installation for Rebecca Lillo in combination with the church picnic and a joint worship service with the East Bay on Sunday, July 30th. We are planning to have that meal after the service here at the church facility, so please join us for that. There's a lot going on that day. The Women's Auxiliary will be planning the meal for that celebration. And yes, you're able to wear your picnic attire if you want to. I was reminded that that's a tradition here, so you can feel free. But there will be a church picture at that Sunday as well for the spokesman article. So we were joking in Bible class that if we all show up in shorts, maybe that'll make the people in the colder states jealous when that article appears in November, that this is how we roll in California. We're all wearing shorts in November. Any other announcements? I think that's... Oh, there, the announcement also for donations for the TVBS or VBS. We hope to give a good donation to that program for sending out the teachers. That's a great expense that they do for free. They count on funds from various donations in the CLC. And also to help pay for some of the activities the kids will be doing during the week, the teachers will be doing during the week. They're coming out and taking a week of their summer. And we're hoping to show them some good sites in the area during that week. So if you'd like to give a donation, you can talk with me or just mark your envelopes VBS or TVBS or both. It will go towards those items. Any other announcements? Leslie. Ladies'
Session
is
Wednesday at
Ida's,
7 o'clock.
Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Ida's, Women's Auxiliary. Okay.
Yeah. Basic themes, of course, the installation. So if you haven't been back for an installation and you're not going to come on Wednesday, feel free to grab me today. It is going to be a picnic thing, so, salads, potato salad, green salad, macaroni salad, hamburger, hot dogs, that kind of thing. So if you have something in particular you would like to bring, let me know either today, shoot me an email. There'll be a sign-up sheet in church next Sunday as well. Do keep in mind that just a few of us and East Bay is coming.
Yep.
And hopefully school families will be joining us. If it's anything like the installation, they all came.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot of people. So we're looking for...
Yeah. There was, I think, this count was 65-ish for the installation in January. If we get close to that, I mean, let's aim high. So let's hope that the Lord brings that many people to our installation service church picnic as well. Go ahead. Grace.
There's a call this morning from Laura Wright, and
wonderful.
If you remember them and send encouragement to be coming, still feel this is their church home. They're very isolated up there. They were so heartened by our visit some time ago. So any little just nudge to show that the congregation can understand the cares and they can really help them make that effort to get involved.
When I had that visit with them, they also gave a very very forceful and encouraging invitation to anyone that would like to come and stay with them. And, you know, if you have to twist your arm to go to Yosemite, they live about as close to the border of the park as you can get. I think it's just a few miles from their house that the actual border of Yosemite National Park is. So if you like to go visit them and also, happen to go to Yosemite as well, they said everyone's welcome. They're trying to get anyone to go there that they can. So, yeah, keep them in your prayers, and thank you for that update from the rites. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.